AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Off the ball, rugby.
6 and 7 seasons ago, Munster got to back-to-back semi-finals. Under Johan van Graan, they've been to one quarter-final since. He left Munster when he'd been offered a new deal because of what he saw as the interference from off the pitch.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Football Pod Club on Off the Ball. In partnership with AIB, proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome along to the Football Pod Club. We are in Killians and All in North Dublin. We're pretty much in County Meath here. There's four of us making our debut in this pub. Sinead Golder, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Carla Rowe, how are you doing?
Yeah, good.
This is your home spot and you've brought us all down here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's nice to be in Killians, to drive 30 seconds down the road and have all of you go back through the traffic of town.
Yeah, exactly. Like, realistically, when someone's travelling from the other side of the world, we possibly should have put it on the south side of Dublin for Sinead Goldrick. Yeah. You've only landed back from Australia in the last 24 hours or so, have you?
Yeah, on Tuesday, so wow. Yeah, a big chat.
Just for the paddling?
Yeah, just for you guys. just for you.
That's commitment to the paddling. Yeah, it's amazing whatever coming up from Kerry. Like.
Yeah. 5 hours.
She doesn't have a hen or anything coming up or a wedding. Or
you've done well now to squeeze this in, because you've got a busy couple of weeks coming up too.
I do. Yeah. So, exciting.
Best wishes to that.
Thank you.
You're getting married before Christmas?
Yeah, 20th. Fortunately, Carla can't make it, but there's like a good crew of Dublin girls and
class.
Everything, so it'll be nice.
Ah, that'll be amazing. That'll be lovely. Best of luck with that, and thanks so much for squeezing in the pod the night before your hen as well, which you actually don't know what's happening, so there's a bit of probably nerves at that too.
Yeah, I know. I'm just can't wait to see everybody. Mm. I think there's a good, I haven't seen them in so long, so I'm just excited.
We're probably the first people you've seen.
I know, because we were chatting on the phone for half an hour last time. I haven't seen Irishy from ages. So.
Get off the phone, John.
She did her interview already. Carolyn, talk to us about this spot here, Killians of Nall, a family-run pub.
Yes, it is, the Killians, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so what's this years. It's like a shrine to Carter Row. I've seen photos around the place here of you as well.
It's our local, everyone here, as Goldie will know from even matches being down here, and it's very community-based, everyone knows each other, and yeah, there's been some good nights here. I have a jersey that I framed, and I keep telling them I'll bring it down, and now we're here.
Well, now you've
I never got it down.
The spot right there, waiting for you.
They're brilliant, the Killians, Ross and Sophie and all the guys behind the bar. It's nice to be down here today.
Yeah, and James, you're kind of yourself a Schneider with the fire there in the background,
I know. I was saying the left side of my leg here is just scalding. I think the jeans are just printed onto the leg.
But there's
beautiful spot, doesn't it?
There's something special about going for a pint and there being an open fire there. It's hard to
leave. There is. Yeah. I don't know, will we get on the road this evening?
There's no hotels, but we'll find this place.
There's horses outside anyway. Yeah.
We'll get somewhere.
We'll get sorted. This is a very open-ended question. What have the last couple of weeks and months been like? I'm going to come to you in both different ways here, because probably been different for the two of you. You've gone to Australia and you've had an AFL season once more with the Melbourne Demons.
Yeah.
How has that gone?
Yeah, so we unfortunately lost in the semi-final to North Melbourne, so they kind of be, I think, like, they haven't lost a game in like two seasons. But
27-0 this year.
Yeah, so we actually were the first team to kind of put it up to them and we lost. So,
okay.
Yeah, definitely kind of, you know, you're walking off the pitch. You know, we've had it all Ireland when you lose, you know, when you nearly had it. That's probably disappointing. But overall, yeah, I'm just back, so just trying to reflect on everything, but it was like good season overall for the team.
And it's like it happened so quickly, probably after that brilliant All Ireland success in August, just straight over.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to luxuriate in the brilliance of what happened in
exactly. Like I think August. And the last after we won the All Ireland and the fun we had and everything, like it was just great. I think even my family, my mom, were just all the kids. It was just such a special time, and then you're back over doing the Bronco again. So
pre-season.
I think it was 1 week and then we had games with AFL. So you're kind of it's great and everything like that, but you don't really.
So how long did you get to celebrate the All Ireland?
3 days.
I think you're gone Thursday, were you?
Yeah, and then flew on Thursday.
What about all the energy? I don't think you can do this for
just 3 days.
and then you're back into it. So
Oh yeah. Like, I always think, do you know when you're playing for like your club or your county, the nerves before a big game, what's the comparison then to playing in Australia in terms of your nerves and your desire to win? Do you know, is it the same?
I feel like, you know, Gaelic is number one hands down, and obviously your club. But obviously with Melbourne, I've been there for 4 or 5 seasons, so it just shows the connections you have each year, it grows, and, you know, your love.
It's getting more and more.
You know the way when you know it, but at the start, I'm like, what is this? You know the way, but then, like, now I'm over there. And I do feel it's like I have Foxcab, Dublin and Melbourne, which I wouldn't have said maybe 2 or 3 years ago, but it just shows when you're kind of trying to achieve something with the team and, like, you haven't got it yet, that, you know, that
you're finding your feet for a few years, I suppose.
Yeah, and then, yeah, you're just trying to do a different sport. So, yeah, your nerves are much higher because you don't feel as confident kind of going in the AFL if you've felt.
And do you find it, like, is it a world apart, the two sports, or do you find...
Yeah,
like it's okay to kind of match them.
Yeah, like I think there's nothing better than Gaelic football, if you know what I mean. But yeah, obviously there's like I like how our Melbourne Demons, like, we try to play a different style of game, so I like how we try to approach the game.
Okay.
Do you watch AFL? Yeah. Do any of you guys watch AFL?
A bit of it.
I caught the grand final there. Blind Bogan, there was Eric O'Shea was involved as well, and a couple of others, but I haven't caught much of it over the last couple of years. It's a very different game. Like it
used to be very good on TG Car.
Well, I love the international rules back in the day.
Coverage is good.
I love that, but I don't know. Is there less? I don't want this to be disparaging, but is there less maybe panache in AFL? Like, is it a bit more physical? A bit more?
Yeah, like a lot more of it. And like I look at it in terms of AFL W's 8 years in association. So like the standard and level, you know, is increasing each year. Where you look at ladies getting football, and it's like 50 years in association.
70,
or 70.
No, sorry, the 70s. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like you get the young kids coming in now in AFLW and their skill level is way higher, and it's getting much better each year. Like our team are kind of maybe the top four each year, so like our the standard of our players are high, if you know what I mean. But there's a disparity.
But even the Irish are driving the standard over there, aren't they? In the team of the years.
Yeah,
the Irish are getting like 5 a season.
Yeah, So, and even Bronwyn Bogue, I think she didn't get a game last year, and then she came on in North Melbourne and like got an All Australian and won. So, like, you know what I mean? The Irish are very proud of the energy that they're bringing over there. I think
that makes the transition easier, Sinead, as well, doesn't it? That you're kind of going in. It's particularly you've been over there about nearly 4 or 5 years. The game is probably very much so when it's in its infancy then. And
yes.
The Irish players are, like you say, maybe the leaders in it.
100%.
Yes. It makes it a lot easier to help settle in, and the fact that there's a community of you guys over there as well, like, makes it not as difficult if you're going over on your own type thing.
100%. And it's like the standard, like our S&C and the training we do in Dublin, like you're at the same level as everything, if you know what I mean. So you wouldn't be able to do
it. Is it the same?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do without like the Dublin, you know, the way.
You couldn't just lend over.
Yeah, you kind of do come in at a good like fitness level and everything. Yeah.
I think that's the difference when it comes to the men's game. And I'll be honest, I thought we'd get into this part of the chat a little later, but, you know...
You skewed now.
Check the notes.
I just mean, like...
A sweat there on the
And that's not the fire. But it is the talent at the top. Like, you mentioned the All-Australian. Like, 5 out of 21 are Irish footballers, like.
Yeah.
And it's... When we think of the LGFA and the journey that women's football has gone on, you guys were part of that peak as it started to grow across the 2010s. And was there 56,000-57,000 people in Crow Park in 2019 for that? Was that your third?
Terrible match.
Third in a row? Yeah.
The goalie came in the rain.
Three,
biggest
four.
Attended crowd in Europe. And I think Goldie scored a goal because it bounced off her shin.
They all counts.
And everyone got soaked.
Yeah, but like, women's football was on this rise. And then AFLW was kind of launching around the same time. And they've obviously springboarded off the brilliant work that's happening in terms of the progression. But LGFA in Ireland can go so much further than it's already gone, right?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. I think it's obviously fantastic. I, on the other side, I'm oh my God.
You're Dublin captain and seeing your teammates now. Yeah. It was fine at the start, they could nearly split the two, but it's not getting to that stage anymore.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Dublin that's been good is like the girls have set a precedent in Dublin that you come back like when you can, if possible, but I think, I'm not sure, you'll know better, the season is now being...
It's
problematic, I think. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be possible to do that, and that's where... Yeah, you'd be worried, like you're taking 40 of the best players. Obviously Dublin, but if you look at like Mayo, have just fallen off so much because what can they do? They can't replace. I don't know how many players from Mayo ladies have gone over.
Yeah,
maybe 7 or 8.
There's definitely,
So yeah, that part of it would be I don't know what the answer is for it.
But it's like, and we get caught up in it talking about, say, the younger talents like a Kobe McDonald or a Ben Murphy getting, I suppose, poached at 17 or 18. But these are the best players in the country that are now going over to Australia and it's like playing professionally, which is incredible. And Shane, are you seeing that when you guys are over there and you're trying to make it in professional in sport, that the impact that it's having back home as well? Do you guys see the negative? You can only see the positive.
No, but I can see the positive, but I can also see, like, Carla's point, and I agree. If you know what I mean, you want to have your best players playing on the whole team the whole time. So, like, even I know for myself, you're kind of spitting between the two. You're trying to do as much as you can for one team and the other. And, you know, it is hard because you're trying your best. So I can definitely see that point. You want Ladies Gaelic Football to be showcasing the best talent. And, like, as Carla alluded to, that Galway game, like, we won the All-Ireland and afterwards we're like, oh, 56,000 people watched our standard and we're so much better, if you know what I mean, than that. So you always want to, like, showcase the best talent. And if they are going professionally, you know, you're losing that in Ireland.
What do you think the answer is?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Because you were like, this was floating in front of you too back around 2018, 2019. Yeah. You know, when you're in the peak, you know, you're what, 23, 24 at that age maybe?
Yeah, and look, as I've said to different interviews or whatever, like, you can see why so many young girls are going, like, the lifestyle, the opportunity. I think what's happening is girls are finishing college and, you know, it's a time to go and travel and then come back, which absolutely is understandable. I really don't know what the answer is. Is the season actually?
Yeah, like, I think so, like, this year I think we got to the final and then the season's pushed, so it was like 1 week and it was straight into games. So, like, clubs also in AFL are saying you can't really do both because, you know, you need to be there for the full pre-season and everything like that. So I definitely think
there's more franchises arriving. Yeah. I saw one solution, somebody suggesting that there should be an LGFA franchise and that's the way they enter from there. Okay. But go over like the URC, the South Africa teams in the URC. But
Can I ask you, Sinead, what's your day-to-day in Australia?
Yeah.
Like, what's your Monday morning and afternoon like?
Yeah, like, so Monday is, we come in, we have like a team meeting, you have massage, physio, and then you have gym, and then we've skills, and then we've lunch together, and then recovery. Tuesday's an optional.
So would you have gym and skills on the same day every training day?
Yeah. And then on Tuesday, it's an optional, like, skill session, which I'd always go to, and then you do uppers and bike. Then Wednesday is our heavy training session, so that's like physio, massage, team meeting,
being paid
training. Team meeting.
Every drop.
And then gym, and then again, it's just like psychology and stuff like that. Or and then Friday's half a day, so the kind of same thing.
Matches.
But you can see, like, we're all like athletes, or we're ex-athletes.
Yeah. Well, you guys,
like, the appeal of that, like,
unbelievable.
Train every day. Yeah, okay, get paid over. That's, of course, a lovely thing to have as well. But just to test yourself, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to train every day. I'm going to recover and then we're going to go and play a match and just put yourself in the best possible shape to perform. That's an unbelievable appeal for anyone going over. The young lads or the young ladies going over.
It's funny, like, Paddy, you would have been on one of the last international rules tours for the under-17s back in the day, right? So you came close to it, but on the road up from Killarney and Clare today, James turns to me and goes, do you know, I'd like to go to Perth.
Just for a night out.
If an AFL club come in for me, I'd like to go to Perth.
I think I could survive in
Phone
Perth.
Phone rings.
Make it work.
It'd be tempting, but it'd be tempting for anybody, like. Did you find it hard to say no to it? Because I know life maybe wasn't...
Yeah, that time in my life, it was... No, at the time I thought, like, it wasn't very big. When I got that phone call, it was coming up to the Galway All-Ireland final, and it was, you'd have to fly out the day after to go and do, like, a recce. I don't think too many girls were over there in 2018.
No.
Maybe Cora at the time, of course.
Cora might have been, I think you had it in the works.
Inish Considine was over around that time too, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was like to go over and do a recce, and they had thrown out Olivia Dibley's name, whether that was ever true or not. I haven't spoke to Olivia about it. And I would have had to tell Mick Bowman that before the final I was going to fly out the day of the final because they were going to release it after. I just said, absolutely not.
The fear of that just...
Yeah, the fear of that was here. No. I don't want to lose a position.
Yeah. Well, to answer, Carla, at that period, you guys were such a dominant team as well at home that's a massive appeal to stay as well. Like, it's...
And you had to fight so hard to get to where you got to that time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, hard like, to get to the top.
Yeah, so at a time, the decision that was there to go over just for 2 weeks was a bit of a holiday. And I was like, well, you know, it'd be nice to do a holiday after the All-Ireland. It's free. It's paid for flights and everything. Was I ever going to go over there? My life was never going to lead for me to do that. So I always kind of knew it was a no, but I thought it'd be nice to go and see what the professional setup looks like and bring something home.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can, as I said, you can see why so many do it. Like, we love sport. We love playing. And to be able to go and do that every day from Monday to concentrate and put 100% into just your work, which is your playing, what we love doing, it would be nice.
And it is class. And I think it's a conversation that's going to continue because, you know, we're seeing there with the GPA and image rights in the last couple of weeks. You know, I think with the WGPA and the foundation and the fact that it's all kind of together now under the GPA, I think you guys have been getting grants for only the last 7 or 8 years, am I right? Now, James is saying the grants are only paid for a night out. Is that it?
Well, they were low in my time anyway.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're even less, I think.
Like, do you know?
It was this year and last year was the first time where we would have noticed considerably amount like a grant coming into our bank accounts.
Yeah. And you're playing with the Dubs since you were 18, and so like you're talking 15 years of...
And like tolls and everything, like, do you know what I mean? So,
what
like,
do you mean?
If you're saying like for petrol and tolls, like that's all adding up that you're going through the whole time. So like Elise Gay Footballs even now are still out of pocket, if you know what I mean. So I think obviously with Dublin, I think our setup is very professional. Yeah. Like, you know, I look at Melbourne and Dublin and I feel like it is professional, but like the mindset, like you have more time in Dublin, but like everything in Dublin is professional.
But like was it always like that with you guys? Do you know, like you're in there since 2010?
Yeah.
Earlier even?
No, I think, well, I think the game has stopped. Like, I think like strength conditioning now is like massive part of it. But no, we used to get like gear before a Leinster final, like in Crow Park, like boots and socks. Like, were you there for all that, were you?
I was 2014, 13, I came in the end of it. It was still, in terms of like physios and strength and conditioning, and we used to get meals like once a week when I started coming in, but that came, I think we were always quite luckily ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Mick, when Mick came in, he was just like, I know what the standard of men's football is like, and I don't see why this gap is here.
Yeah. And then, like, even I still remember, if it like strength conditioning, I think with Pablo, we used to like lie on each other's on the ground and walk on each other's stomachs for like our core. And like, that wouldn't be allowed now. That was like 12 years ago. And we're all like, okay.
I thought it was dead.
Like, and then Martina Farrell, and we used to punch each other in our like ovaries before a game. And like, now we wouldn't do that.
So, sounds like the strength conditioning. Similar to junior club football in media.
They're only catching up.
Like, so with that now, I'm like, I look back because I was like, now the strength condition, like all of that, it's gone way more professional. But like, yeah, Dublin have always been ahead of the curve. Even like back then, we were probably doing gym when other senior counties weren't doing it. Like,
yeah,
walking on each other's stomach, probably not good for anybody.
Whatever works.
Is that like the biggest change? You know, you come in say in 2010, and it's the tens in Dublin GAA are going out as like the most successful period ever, but for men's and women's, and it was an incredible period. And looking at the growth of the women's game, like I said, the attendances, the coverage, the level, the skill level. What, like, it's a 15-year period. What's the biggest change from you walking first as an 18-year-old to now winning the All-Ireland again this year? Is it the strength and condition, the athleticism, or is it kind of the whole package?
The coaching.
Is it a broad question?
You mentioned like, is it the level of coaching? Like, is it?
Yeah, I think there is a huge. I definitely think the strength and conditioning is like, you can't compare it to what it was when I would have come in. When I look at a picture of me in 2014, and I look at the girls that are trying to come in now to our squad as 18, 19-year-olds, like they can't get near it for 2 or 3 years just because of physicality.
Okay.
Whereas there were some of us who could step in on our first year because physicality wasn't there. Like it. They physically break down. It's not even on the pitch. It's like training.
Just the load.
Yeah, the load is just too much. The gym is too much. They break down if they aren't controlled, in which we are getting. So yeah, that for me, that would be the biggest thing, is definitely the physicality point of view.
I'm even a bit like that. I look back at photos of me playing at the start. I'm mortified.
Yeah.
I'm shamed to the gills. I'm like, what the fuck? I'd have backed down again, struggling.
Reach the peak.
Jersey is like hanging off. You know, it's.
I think that for most young players, that is the case.
But no, the level to come in at is so much higher.
Yeah.
Like you need to be ready straight away.
Yeah.
It's just to be able to actually sustain the training. It's to be able to go out and train 4 nights a week and be in the gym 4 nights a week. If you don't have a certain level, you just can't keep it up, is what I think.
No.
We're seeing anyway.
Can I pivot a little bit? the celebrations for you and for like the team and for Bodie, like it felt like there was a lot of emotion when I'm looking back on the game earlier on in the week, when I'm looking at sports file photos. Something felt different about 25. What was it like?
I think it was 24 and that the fact that we'd lost, and 24 was kind of that we were told we were going to win everything, that they were the strongest team in the country. I remember listening to Nadine Doherty before driving up the road to the Galway game, I think it was on the Wednesday night, and it was just like, I can't see anyone getting near the Dublin Ladies, they're so strong, and the hurt from that. And then you get to a point, I suppose, as you're a bit older, and we probably do have the older girls on the team.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there is a level of a good chunk of us who've been there for a very long time. And yeah, you just appreciate it more. You realise that they don't come every year and you appreciate them so much. And I think that's what the emotion of the final whistle is, just we know what it feels like to not win after winning, and we know how special it is to win.
And do you reckon that crept in a bit, hearing how good you are constantly? Do you reckon it does seep in even without...
It could, but not that day. Maybe on previous years it could have. Like 2021, I'd probably say the year we were going for five in a row and Mead bet us. Maybe that year did it creep in, possibly. But 2024 was, I genuinely think it was, the team was a bit shook. We lost our half-forward line. We didn't respond well on the day. And yeah, just Galway played better on the day than we did. Mm.
Yeah.
25 for you?
Yeah.
Like you missed 2010. The All-Ireland in 2010.
Yeah, yes, I was in Thailand.
You were travelling. Yeah. And I think you said afterwards, you're never going to go travelling again.
Yeah, because I remember I decided that, I was just like, I want to go to Thailand with my school friends and everything like that. And then I remember being in Croke Park, seeing them lift the cup. And then that was just like, no, I don't have,
you,
I don't
so you were watching
travel. Yeah, I was back at the time, yeah.
You had like, one at the time.
You went to the game? Like?
Yeah, I went to the game and I just remember seeing them lift the cup.
But like that 2010 All-Ireland, like... And I know people won't forget, but like that's the one All-Ireland that punctures Cork's utter dominance. Yes. Like it's 11 and 12 for Cork.
Yeah.
And then you meet Cork in two out of three or three in a row from 14 to 16.
Yeah.
Your captain.
Yeah, because we lost, I think it was in Kerry, we lost by a point. It was always the quarterfinals before then that we hadn't reached. So then, yeah, obviously when they won and seeing them win in 2010 and everything like that was, like obviously you want to be, you're very happy for them, but you want to be part of it, if you know what I mean.
I used that phrase. I was so happy.
He was there at 11. He had the same thing at 11.
But like,
you couldn't go.
You couldn't go.
Did you go?
No, I didn't go.
Okay, yeah.
I should be out,
That was tough.
That's hard.
Yeah, but it's exactly what you're saying, Goldie. It's like, it's amazing, but there's a selfish party as well going, Jesus. Yeah. And it either drives you on and you want to go do more of it, or like you said, your approach, that's not happening again.
Yeah.
And it turned out well for both of us. Yeah. We've been able to get back there, but it's hard, yeah, it is.
I think you know how much like work went into it, and you see how like happy, you know, you just know that feeling of being part of a team when you win, and you're like, you want to be part of it.
And then even just the days after and those moments with your family and your friends and the team in the dressing room, like when you've been there and you felt that, you're just like, oh God, I don't, like, fear of missing out. Yeah, completely. Yeah. You just want to be there.
Yeah.
No, you could definitely see how much it meant. I read a great piece with Kieran Shannon, I done with you a couple of years ago in the Irish Examiner, and mathematically, I can't even wrap my head around it. But you lost four All-Irelands in 26 months with club and county.
Oh, did I? Okay. In 16. Yeah.
But you struggled.
He does this. This is going to be like a fun, engaging interview. But God's just not crying on it.
The year before, so it's 14, 15, 16. And I want to get into the story of both of your clubs in a few minutes. But Foxrock Cabinteely had gone from Junior E to All-Ireland club finals in the space for nearly a decade.
Yeah.
And I think when you lost that fourth All-Ireland, they're all by a score. I think you needed a break at the time, and Mick Bahan gave you a bit of time off, and you needed that, like.
Oh, definitely. I think because that was when we were losing with Dublin too, and at that time you were playing with Dublin, and then on the Wednesday you're back with your club. Like, there was a 2-day break, if you know what I mean. And then obviously it was brilliant with Fox Cab. We got, like, we won six I don't know, county championships with Dublin, and then we lost the four All Ireland. So like, it was such an amazing time. But when you're like training the whole time complete, it's tiring, you know what I mean? You're
getting
a bit of a burned out. Yeah. So I after that I remember being like, I don't think I can come back, Mick. And then
at all.
I just said I just needed a break, if you know what I mean. And then there was a few of us that felt the same, just the hurt, and then we decided to come back, and then we won that year, so it was good.
And this is a stupid question, but like, is it worth it, like all the bloody pain when you do get over the line.
Yeah, yeah. And I think when you are older, you appreciate it. I think even like before, we had a psychology meeting before the All-Ireland this year, and there was like four of us bawling, crying. And I remember Hedge was like, "You're always crying." I'm just so emotional that, you know, you're so proud to be there and you just know how close you are, but you can also know it's just going to be taken away from you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it is worth it. Like the highs are the highs and the lows are the lows, but like your own people, they see the best of you, they see the worst of you, if you know what I mean. But it's that, like,
it's a journey, like it is. It is.
And not too many people get to experience that. Like, you know, people say, oh, you give up so much time and you miss this and you miss that. But it's like, well, how many people in the world can say they were a part of 30 or 35 or 42 with your management and have felt this feeling?
Was there an excitement when Carla Rowe breaks into the Dublin team?
Yes, because Carla came. There's always like one kid that comes in, and she was like, but like you knew she had it, if you know what I mean. And yeah, like full of energy, and just you're like, great. Because sometimes, as Carla says, it takes like other players to come in, but yeah, the energy she brought. And I still remember our first All Ireland final, and the police escort. So like we do this every year. Carla's just like, when she smiles, she gets so happy. She's like, we've got Carla escort, and she's like running up and down the bus, and we're like going to Crow Park.
Focus, Carla. Focus.
Like, before the game. She's like, still there this time. She gets so excited.
But I'm like, enjoy. This is so cool. How many people? Like, unless it's bad, I don't know what reason you get Carla escort for, but you're the very famous, or something bad has happened. And I'm neither of those, so it's like taking it in.
And did that fuel how you played?
I think about All Ireland final days as like, this is it, go out and just show what you've got, because why else have you been training all year? Love them. Like, obviously there's nerves, but our psychologist, Redzer, or Lane Kelly, who played with the Dubs, is brilliant. And like, I remember very early, she was like, nerves and excitement are actually the same feelings. Like, they physically feel the same. It's how you want to mentally talk about them.
Okay.
So I always am just like, I'm so excited.
Yeah. But did you, like, I know Elaine is working with you. Did you have that before, though? Were you kind of doing that already? Or did something click?
I can't remember when I was younger being very nervous.
Okay.
I loved it. And yeah, I probably was a lot of energy for people to have to take in my younger years. I do, like, as I got older on the bus and the Gard escorts at the All-Irelands, I'm like, I need to just remember that some people, like Martha Burnaby, sitting there, like, not looking at anything, and Leah, and I'm there bouncing around looking at all the traffic that's been stopped.
All the lights.
So yeah, you start to read the room a little bit.
No, I love that.
It's great to not be in your own head at that stage, because I always found, coming up to the game, you can get too in here, and you're thinking about the wrong things, whereas if you are just enjoying the moment, you're actually not thinking about anything, and you're way more able then to rely on your skills.
Yeah, exactly.
When the time does come.
Yeah, I think we played Donegal COVID year, and we had to go separately in our cars, and I had actually really enjoyed that COVID time of being at home and having a bit of time, but I trained really well, and I was like, I can't wait to go into matches, because you know the way some people didn't train as much and other people did, and I knew I trained really well, and I went down to that game and I thought about the game the whole way down there. Yeah, and I played terribly.
Was that, like, the one when we all played terribly? And
everyone played terribly, but I had like thought I was going to do really well, and I was going to show how much, and I just thought about it so much.
Too wound.
It was terrible. Like, I drove home by myself then, because no one was left me in the car crying.
No distraction on the way to...
You did, and you do deliver on big days, though. Like, I think All-Ireland final against Mayo, you score a goal, you set up. Definitely won a Sarah McCaffrey's goal that day. You scored two goals in another All-Ireland final. I think maybe Sinead O'Hearn might have missed that one, or maybe she was injured, but you definitely...
Could have been the court.
Did you take a penalty that day? I can't remember. You scored two goals that way, one from play anyway. You don't score in the 19 final, but not many did, apart from Sinead O'Hearn. And then you've like 2-4...
Goals win games.
2-4 in the 2020 semi-final, I think 1-3 in the final. I'm going to bring you back, though, to something that I came across, and I honestly think it's one of the cruelest things I've ever seen in sport, and it was... All are in a minor final.
Here he goes again.
No.
I want to show you the photo.
You're not allowed to bring that up.
What is it?
This is a replay.
It's one of the cruelest things I've ever seen. This photo. You've just been beaten by a point.
Yeah.
Oh, replay. Last minute goal by Galway. I think the Dibleys were playing for Galway at the time.
They were. It was like a Olivia Dibley shootout.
And I just think this should be banned. They awarded you player of the match, and you had to do like a photo afterwards, and that's horrendous, like.
Yeah, and it's funny because that was terrible. That was our leaving cert results day.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Oh, God.
Yeah, a load
of us. No wonder you're so sad.
All-Ireland final replay, a load of us were getting results. Like, some of the girls didn't open. I remember Alwyn Carey, I think, didn't open her results.
Wait, before the game.
Maria McGrath. I was like, now imagine you've lost and you have to open your results.
Oh, that's horrible.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy.
Jesus, tell me.
I'm going back to a bad memory here. Sorry.
She's won 20 All-Irelands. Let's talk about them instead. Like.
But you know, it must be fair awkward as well, is walking into the dressing room with the Man of the Match trophy when everyone else is
I was just crying. I was physically crying on this trophy. Yeah, some of the girls bring it up and slag me. So you're okay, I've seen it.
But then 21 All-Irelands, you declared a match again. And you win that one. You win that one as well.
It's funny because when we played Galway in the last couple of years, I have always, and our group of girls have always been like really nervous of Galway.
Okay.
We're like, these girls, we know what this team is. They're similar to us. They've come up. So yeah, that's what, even this year, I think I was so heightened in that match after missing the previous year.
Yeah, it didn't stop you. That goal, you were enjoying it.
Showboating.
Yeah. It was the best goal I've seen.
Like, sensational.
It was,
Never again. It's a one time only.
You got in trouble though, didn't you?
By one of my players?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't repeat what she said. She ran up, cursed me and called me an idiot.
Well, but if you did pick that up, the best you could have done is fisted it over.
Yeah.
Because they'd have been on you. It was definitely the right call.
It was sensational. Backheel goal into the back of the net. Like, iconic.
We'll take that.
Extra time, All-Ireland semi-final. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, I've watched it a couple of times to be like, why did I do that? Like, I didn't think, I don't remember it, like, that happening and thinking it through. I definitely didn't think it through. But I just remember seeing the keeper and it was like, now or never.
Yeah, and instinct.
Yeah, just went, it went ahead of me and I knew it was gone beyond it. So I just needed to go for it.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
You are listening to the Football Pod Club on Off the Ball, brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Club Championships in LGFA, Camogie, football and hurling. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after. Lads, can I talk to you about your clubs? Because they've both been really interesting journeys. And while you both started with the Dublin Seniors at the same time, you're both kind of A team, you broke into the seniors.
Yeah.
You had different journeys up to that. You only started the sport at the age of 12. You were winning All-Irelands under 14, under 16 and minor. Like, was football always a part of your life? Was it always there for you?
Yeah, and I think, like, I look back and, like, yeah, I think it was, like, school, and then I played Gaelic, athletics and basketball, if you know what I mean. But Gaelic was always just the one that I absolutely loved.
And why was that?
The people, do you know what I mean? Like, and, yeah, as I said, getting married, still, all the club girls are still there, and, like, we had a really good group going up, and then also our management, like with Fox Cop at the time, were like DCU, they were over Dublin too, so there's a really high level of kind of coaching, and I think that's so important, especially at club level, because it, like, you need good coaches, you need a good structure, and yeah, I've kind of been very lucky with Dublin and club to kind of have really those people around me. Like,
was it a tough choice, Goldie, with like kind of excelling at other sports? We know we speak with this a lot,
the benefits,
young players play every sport, get exposure to everything, you'll take, there's lots of crossover, and ultimately you find out what one you like best. Was it a case you loved Gaelic football the most? Were you the best at Gaelic football? Was it parents, or was that a hard choice to say, I'm going to stop all of them because this is the one?
I think my mom and, like, they let me do, you know, they did as much as I can. So, like, but I still remember Gaelic, my coach was like, you've played a basketball match before this game, didn't you? And then, like, you know, you were like getting in trouble and stuff, and I used to just do it, but like not tell them. And then, like, I remember doing gymnastics and then having like dirt on my knees, and they're just, I was like late, like hanging there. Do you know what I mean? So you're just like trying to make it work. But if you actually look at, I think one of the Dublin, I can't remember what game it was, but six of the girls, or the backs, were from Clochiscon, and our basketball team in Clochiscon was really good. It was our school.
You won a lot of All-Ireland.
Like, so we had a really good, again, a really good coach, a really good, like, there was just, we had all the way up, and, like, they were all defenders, and then there's six of them were playing with Dublin. So I definitely think basketball is very transferable for, like, you know, hand-eye coordination and all of that. So, yeah, you think even for kids, like, get them into whatever, you know, they want.
You definitely did the three best, I reckon. Gymnastics, athletics, and basketball are the three most important, I reckon.
Soccer, maybe, as well.
I reckon you get bad habits of soccer.
Have you, Sophia, signed up yet, frying them?
She's in 6 months old, she's in gymnastics.
She's not crawling yet, she has the basketball there.
There's hip mobility.
Where's the bands on doing the
What do you do athletics-wise?
Hurdles and then long distance. But, like, I think, with, I remember, like, that was the one that I was like, you kind of need to focus in on, and that was just the individual thing of it I didn't like, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd kind of just do competition, like they were trying to make me, and I was like, no, that was when I was kind of happy, like I don't really enjoy, obviously I did enjoy
and, like,
it.
You had serious pedigree. Were you Leinster champion of 400 metre hurdles? Like,
so
that's a hard event as well, isn't it?
But yeah, I just kind of decided not to go in college with that. I was like, school were kind of allowing me to do it, and then I just said, no, I want to focus on basketball and Gaelic, and then AFL came in the mix at some stage.
What's next?
You never know.
Did you play other sports? Like, I hadn't realised it, but you only picked up Gaelic football at 12 or 13 when you moved out to the Knolls.
Yeah, that was it. Moved out here.
Moved out to the country.
Yeah. I did gymnastics for years, but no, I suppose it probably wasn't in my house. I was doing gymnastics in school. I loved sports. I loved sports day. And I did soccer then when I went to secondary school.
Okay.
But no, nothing. I did a bit of athletics as well in secondary school, and like that, was pretty good at the long distance running stuff. So, but it just wasn't for me. I just remember thinking, right, where is the end line? Like, that's what I'd be thinking the whole way through. So I don't think that's what you want to be doing.
And did you always have a ball in your hand in your teens? Like, where?
Yeah, I did. Once I found Gaelic, I was like, oh my God, I want to. I remember, and I even tell kids, like, I would be going into schools and stuff that, and I tell students, like, it was like a stepping stones for me. There was two girls playing for Dublin, and I wanted to be as good as them. It was just the competition for me was just what was driving me, and it was, okay, I'm going to try and be as good as, let's say, you.
That's class.
And then the next couple of months,
and he's your age.
It would be like, well, when I was 13 and joined, we had no 13s or 14s. We had to play 16s. So you'd be playing 16s and minor at like 13, which is crazy now when you think of it. But I always think it did me great. It did a lot of us girls. I think the girls who loved it and were quite strong excelled because you were put against tougher opponents.
Sink or swim there.
Then I suppose you'd lose a couple of girls along the way because the weaker girls then are struggling against harder opponents. But it was just, I just wanted to try and constantly claw my way up to mark the best and try to compete with them.
Was there people in Clonmora, in the club, that got you hooked, or was somebody at home, or was it just you in school? Like,
no, it was my neighbours. I'm not in like the village. I'm out in my home house out the country roads, and like they just load up on a Wednesday and a Friday night, and they'd be. Mossy McGrain was my neighbour, and my club mate for years, Megan, was playing. So he was just like, "Come on, jump in, we'll bring you down." And me and my sister, we both went down, and she stopped playing, but that was it.
Jesus, yeah.
My neighbour, our first manager, who was there he was with me from under 13s to about 4 years ago, he was down the road as well. So,
okay.
You know, it would literally be like, if you were outside the gate, they'd just say, right, jump in. He'd be like, I'm going to train and bye.
Brilliant. The Foxrock Cabinteely story is crazy, really. Like, only founded in the year 2000 as the first ever, I couldn't believe this, the first ever ladies football only club.
Yeah.
How is that not more of a thing? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, especially when it's, I know integration is on the cards now, wherever we are at on that journey, but the fact that they're the only one at the time was absolutely insane. But obviously that's a huge thing for you, because as you're growing up then, and you're probably falling in love with football at that time, there's a club there ready and looking for you.
Yeah, and like also just even access, like we got the pitch whenever we wanted, like there was nothing, you know, I know, like you hear from other clubs that like the guys would always get the main pitch, and we didn't, like, so kind of, our age group from 110, we just built all the way up, and then we didn't get to that, like, winning All-Ireland Club Championship, but like we like that had the best time. Yeah, Jesus. If you know what I mean.
You cleaned up for so long.
We were kind of like the croaks, so everyone hated us. But we had a great time.
You said that, but
I think you look back, like, it was always around Christmas time, and then you had to be there with like, and your family and everything like that, and like all the club people. So yeah, like it was just such a special time. And again, it's like when you haven't been able to play for your club, you just appreciate it so much, you know. But also when you're winning, it's like the best feeling also, when you're doing it with a group of players.
And it's like, I came across this photo of a Dublin under 14 team, like Hannah Turin and goals. Like,
Hannah Turin and goals, like, and now she's like the best forward. Like, it's just crazy.
She was goals for, I remember going to a game for one of the girls in the club. It was like the junior, was there a junior B Dublin team
there
or something
was.
Like that? There was like a B Dublin team, and she was the goalkeeper first.
Yeah.
Which is mental.
Yeah, and then she played rugby, and then like last year she was like outstanding. Do you know what I mean? So it's just
exceptional.
It's incredible. What an athlete. But 24th of July, Tarman Barry in Longford, an All-Ireland under 14 final replay. And the Dublin team that day is absolutely ridiculous. As I mentioned, Hannah in goals. You got Shona Barrett, Sinead O'Mahony, Leanne Quinn. You can stop me at the All-Ireland winners, the future All-Ireland winners.
Yeah.
Sinead Goldrick, Fiona Hudson, captain. Yeah. Karen McGlynn, Amy Connolly, Niamh McAvoy, Noelle Healy, Ailish McKenna, Arlene Cushion, Julianne Forbes, Sinead Cullen, Deborah Geraghty.
Oh my God.
And then on the bench, I'm not going to go through all 30, but Amy Ring is there. I spot a couple of others. You might spot a few others there as well. But that's just remarkable that that amount of
Niamh McAvoy,
players in
one
team.
Well, Healy,
I always think a great team is made up of a core group of one underage team.
Yeah.
Even yours was as well, wasn't it? Your great team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The boys came through. Same time, there's seven or eight lads.
Because they're so close, they've been through a lot, they want to stick around. Good mentality.
Yeah, if you can hold them together for a couple of years, if you get them through those younger age groups and hold them together, then definitely is.
Then you only need your two every year or whatever it is.
Sham's coming in at the side. We're just going to piggyback on you lads.
We've been doing this piece on our episode so far with Gavin White and Shane Ryan and Park Joyce, and we've asked everyone to bring in something that meant something to them for their career. Carly, you brought in something from a little while back, did you?
I did. When you said this, I just thought this just jumped to my head. It was a clay piece. I did not make this.
That's pretty good. I know what it is.
It was a clay piece which a couple of young girls, when she came to our training, she made that.
Is Jimmy.
Beautiful.
Best of Chris.
You can take that home if you want.
Put that on the fridge.
But she wrote me a letter. She gave me a picture that she obviously got at a match, and she made this clay piece. And
what age is this girl?
She's only 12 or 13, maybe even younger. And when you said about this, I just thought that's just the impact you have. And again, as you get older, you realise how long did that take that girl to make? And she painted it and tried her best at it. And I just thought,
I think that's good. It's great. I think it's class.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I couldn't do that, but it's just you don't really think about those things.
Is the letter private?
Yeah.
The picture's in there, so I mightn't put that out.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
She said, do you want me to read it?
No, just give us a
She just says she plays for her school. She's in fifth class. You're my favourite GAA player ever. I want to be like you when you're older. I'll be at the next match. My dream is to be a Dublin player like you. And then she had a few questions.
Oh, that's beautiful. So
I'm going to start crying here.
She's done the crest. She's done the crest.
But I've had a number of these, and it's just... it's just you think about those things. They're so special to have. And that's not just county, obviously. That's club. And I see it with young kids here around the village and everything. It's just... We don't realise, I think, when we're playing, when you're in the midst of it, how impactful we can
be. I love the fact that she's put Clonay as Dublin as well. She's living in me, but she's a Dublin.
She's
I love that.
Her postman's always changing the dress.
We're having an ongoing fight with the postman.
It's only when you're out, though, that you realise how big a thing you were involved in, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know,
you try and suppress it so much.
That's you try and play
your approach is the most refreshing approach to actually... You're doing this amazing thing, and I'm actually going to enjoy it. How many times have you gone to your whole career and just nearly waiting? You don't enjoy the matches.
Yeah.
It's just get this over and please God we win. You know, and that.
Did you find that?
Yeah, but at that time, definitely. It is a massive thing, and our group, and I know even talking to some of you guys as well with your team, it's you're trying to block out all the noise, and this process thing, and I get it, because it worked, and both our teams at that period were very successful, but there is an element where that kind of innocence and enjoyment piece is, you do lose it. Maybe that's just part of being an elite sport is a serious thing, but...
You probably lose it after losing, because you need to win so much again afterwards.
There's that pressure, and there is pressure, because it's a massive thing, and it's what a thing to be able to achieve, the pinnacle of your sport. But you're right, when you come out of it, I'm so envious of you guys still in it, and the celebrations you see after winning the All-Ireland this year. We're about out a couple of years and have seen our teams win an All-Ireland, and you just go, Jesus, I would give anything to be back there and enjoy it and embrace it. Because, kind of you maybe take it a little bit too seriously when you're in.
Yeah, it's something Mick always said, he always said, these are the days you just have to enjoy. And he always said, you will meet a teammate on the street in 20, 30, 40 years' time. And he said, you'll just look at each other and you'll know you've shared those moments together. Yeah. Nothing will have to be said, and it'll be you mightn't have seen them for years. Yeah. And it won't be that awkwardness, how are you? It's you've never been away from each other.
Yeah. It's true.
He always said, and it's that level of respect. Do you know what I mean? Just that nod.
We did this together.
You've
been in the trenches, though. You've seen what it's like in January, or coming back and trying to bounce back from the heartbreaks and
yeah,
I can imagine.
You don't realise you're in the good old days until they're gone.
You're watching The Office this week, right? Yeah. Who said it?
Michael Scott. Oh,
yeah. It wasn't Michael Scott. But, okay.
Maybe James is a bit of a Dwight. Yeah. He can be our Dwight.
There is a little bit of that.
I know you've only landed home, but I landed on this you on this at very short notice. Were you able to bring us in, Anton?
I did. I actually brought this, and probably the reason. I haven't really. It's something very special.
You all right?
Yeah.
Take your time.
Take your time, yeah.
But doesn't it just show, like, that's what these things...
Yeah, it means everything.
Like, we're talking there about what it means to play and everything that you can put into your sporting career. And you're obviously investing in yourself a lot, but it's the people around you, this little girl who's written a letter to you in 2024 to about how you've inspired her, the people, you know, the family and stuff at home. So... I know this is.
I think it just shows that family is everything. And unfortunately, my sister's husband had brain cancer, so he was trying to survive for that for like 2 years. And then before every final that I was in, so there was the county final. He started giving me a pair of gloves. So for 2016, it always had my name. I'd never wear them. Always had the name.
I was like, I've never seen.
But I've kept them all the way up. So he'd always give it to me. And then he passed away. I think 5 days after we played, lost to Meath in the All-Ireland final, and I didn't get a pair of gloves that year, and then I hadn't got one since. And then before the Cork game this year, my sister came down with two of the kids, and then she just handed me this. My heart was like, and she's funny, she's like, I don't know if you'll make it to the All-Ireland, but we just need to give you this glove, because he always gives them before any final. Wow. So I have them all in my room, and then I always just like bring them with me to Australia. So I just bought that just to kind of, but like, it just shows how much, you know, your team are there for you in those tough times. And then also my sister was always just like, oh, the joy that we get of going to your games, you know, you're packing the kids in the car, you're getting everyone, and like, you've just brought so much, like Dublin have brought so much to the family. And Hannah's like the same, she's like, wants to play for Dublin. So she's his daughter, she's my godchild. And I'm like, what do you want to do? And she's like, I just want to play for Dublin. And you know what I mean? So she's, obviously it's just those kids. But then also I think, the impact that you'd bring to your family and the joy they get out of
the memories. Like,
like they'd even watch the girls and I'm in Australia. You know what I mean? Just the pride that you have of like going to, see people play for Dublin and stuff like that. So
that's incredible. Yeah. It's giving me goosebumps.
So that's what I brought.
And you won the All-Ireland?
Yes, we did. And I also, because we hadn't won, I hadn't won, you guys won that year, it was like 4 years. I think when I came back, I saw a psychic beforehand too and said we're going to win.
I think this is a trend with you, because you got Noelle Healy in trouble when she was younger too, didn't you?
I guess. Did you hear about this? What did I do?
Noelle Healy got in trouble with her dad, I think, under maybe 10s.
Okay.
She did an interview about this. She said that she went on to the field and she ended up marking a Foxtrot Cabin Healy wing back. And she first thing that was said to Noelle Healy when she walked over was, "What's your star sign?" Not run away to her the whole game. Apparently, you absolutely skinned her, and her dad gave out grief to her afterwards.
For talking.
Yeah, but she was chatting. And then,
So who did you see? Like a card reader?
I actually saw an angel reader. I'm gonna say like this,
This is getting better. Are you sure you want to keep this?
If anyone wants it, I've been in these
situations too. I've been around it, so it's not alien talking to me. I've seen some of this happening.
Okay.
Angel readings and stuff.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Did you win the All Ireland?
No.
So anyway, if anyone wants to win the All Ireland, I'll give you the number.
There you go. That's a great ad.
Anything else that came through? You have to say, but like.
There was a few things, like I think I take a bit of a pinch of salt, do you know what I mean? The good stuff, like that stuff's silly, but I remember because Leah remembers, I think before when we won our first All-Ireland, I went to see one and I go, Leah, I did it again. And she's like, I remember you did it like 6 years ago when we won that year. So
that's class.
I just thought like, we need to do it.
You never did that, James, did you?
I did actually go to an angel reader once.
Oh, did you? Okay, there you go.
They told us we were going to be beaten.
No,
I forget what they said, but I did go to one. Right, it was expensive.
Yeah,
300 or 400 quid, I think it was.
Oh, well, mine was a lot cheaper. 50 euros.
Desperate to
get a refund.
But I think some people like, yeah, I remember, I think, you know, you probably wouldn't like that, do you?
Look, take whatever you want from it. It
helps you win. It helps you win. Why not?
But some people are like, that's a load of, do you know what I mean? But
I'd be like, she knew, she just Googled your name, saw you played for Dublin and said, 50-50 chance.
Hey, be impressive if that was the case. Yeah. But it just shows you as well all the different personalities in the dressing room. You got to be able to let them get excited about Garda escorts or do the range of reading.
But that is, like, and it's very all you guys. Like, there's this array of different people. Like, you have the extroverts, the analytical people, the crazy people, the silent. Yeah. The other way, it's just you get them all.
Yeah, and then it's just how you get to see the best and the worst of all those different people. Like, you see them on their absolute best days of some of their lives, and then you see them, like, the, you know, that kind of training in the winter or games week, that's where your worst comes out. Yeah. Sometimes when you're under the most amount of pressure. But you love each other still.
Like, team sports. Like, play all sports. We're sports mad country. We're all fanatical about everything. But that team sports element is always, like I say, you can enjoy those moments, the best moments with the people you care about most. And then when you're at your lowest ebb as well, you have those people there which they pick you up as well. So it's just that, you keep that connection. Like, all the best teams in every sport, they have that connection with their teammates. Like, if you don't have that, you can have all the skill or fitness or all everything else. But
it has to be more than a team, doesn't it? It has to be more than a football team. It has to be everything. Your social outlet, your family, your crutch if you need it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you reflect on a year and you're like, that year, you know, you might have lost that year, and you obviously look at everything. And sometimes you come back and you're just like, the balance, even in the team or at home, there was things going on.
You know, don't you? You do know. Like, it's like, just not quite right. Like,
you can never prove that that's the reason why, but you know, because sometimes when you compare it to the years where everything went well and you look at the outside, you know, has a big part, has a big impact.
Yeah.
Hunshaw in Leopardstown, Christmas means one thing. Rossiach at its very best, where champions meet challengers and Cordia reunite. From Nullag 26th to 29th, the biggest names, August Nicopolis Far, take to one of jump racing's most iconic stages. Och, ni stoppin' on crack on shin. It's a celebration that will have the crowds igdausa long after the final race. Unwrap the magic of racing at Leopardstown Christmas Festival. Visit leopardstown.com. Nullag Hunadiv.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Are you not sure if you're going back next year? Or were you just fobbing off the journalists last week when you were doing your...
I just have to have conversations at home.
Yeah, of course. But it's a big thing too. Like, it's a part of it too, isn't it? Like, it's such a commitment. And but, like, you guys are talking to us for the last hour about all you've got from it and all you've given to it too. Like, it's such a part of your life.
Ah, yeah, it is. No, look, for me, it's not a no. It's not an 100% yes. Yeah. I'm probably closer to yes than I am no. It's just, you have to see this time of year, which other players are coming back, and, you know, you go back for your teammates and you go back because you want to win. And, you know, there are two things that you have to just, when you get a bit older, you're kind of looking at a bit more closely.
It's probably a yearly thing that you're wrestling with around that time, isn't it?
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's like you need to take some time, as you said, Paddy. And I think as you get a bit older, the management realise who they need to just leave alone at this time of the year. And it's the first year I've probably done that where I was always in from like the November, the gym time.
Okay.
Our club went a bit longer this year as well, but it's the first time I haven't gone in there.
You had a league final late.
A cup final.
In December, right?
Yeah, we did.
Did you win?
We did.
Did you end up back here?
We didn't. It was a Wednesday night.
Okay. Okay. You can still come here on Wednesday.
I think this would be a nice Wednesday.
It would. It was like the worst day of rain. Yeah. It was Wednesday, like 3 weeks ago, and the rain was torrential. Geez. So a few of the older ones were like, will we or not? But the jerseys were stuck to us, so no, we headed off. But it was good. It was just a cup final against Rohini. Rohini had obviously done so well in the club, so we were waiting on them
to play it.
So took our season another 3 weeks.
You did well to win it, so if you're waiting that long to... That's not easy hanging around for that.
Yeah, we did. We grounded out. I think Rohini were probably fitter and were technically better than us. as a team because they've been going so far, okay. But the weather definitely helped us out.
Class.
Okay. We won in the dirt, which is good.
You've got so much to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. I don't even want to ask you about next year yet.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I'm just going to try to get married. You know?
Tick that box.
Yeah,
first.
Haven't seen him in like 4 months. Hopefully all be okay. But yeah, no, just get married and then yeah, have the hen and stuff like that and just kind of see how it goes.
That's class. Well, yeah. Best of luck with that.
Thank you.
Well done as well on the season as well in Australia. Like, you are the only All-Ireland champion and AFL Premiership winner too, or you were the first.
Jen is two.
Jen is two now. But you were certainly the first back in, it was 22, wasn't it, when you won it?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Which is nice. Yeah.
You're better than me with the dates. How did you find it this year? Was it injury-wise? Was that tough?
Yeah. I actually kind of, probably my most challenging year, like in Gaelic and AFL. I came back, played one game and then popped my shoulder and then got back in 4 weeks for that. But it was actually kind of good because I was able to, you know, rest the body, and like my hamstring was a bit sore going into that All-Ireland final. So, and then, yeah, I played two games and then I burst my face open here at training and then on the Tuesday and then on the Saturday, I actually, at first 20 seconds, got a hit to the face and I fractured my eye orbital. So,
Jesus.
I actually played the whole game and I went into training on one day and I was like, I just have a bit of like my vision and like hear sore. So they like, and that's the thing with the professional, they just like get a scan. And then I was out training and then they like pulled me out and they're like, yeah, you have a facial fracture. And I was great.
Before the wedding.
Yeah, I know. So it's still healing, but it'll be fine.
I did meet her mom at the All-Stars. She was like, she fractured her face.
She's like, I can't watch a game. So she has been able to watch a game since.
And did Mary collect her All-Star that night?
No, my dad did.
And I
rang him and obviously he's like super proud and I was like that.
Sure, he's been part of your journey all the time.
Yes, and he is. He's such a part of it. But he rings him oh, I'm so proud of you, Sinead. And then he's like, I was like, oh yeah. He was like, I'm coming off the high from the stage. I'll call you tomorrow. You enjoy that dance. Yeah, I could like picture him walking around with the trophy everywhere. But like,
yeah, we were getting a photo. It was like all the Dublin, obviously, and they separated. And they were like, where's Seamus?
He was just so happy or whatever. And he said so much fun with like all you girls and all the younger players with my mom and dad. Like they had the best time. So yeah, those nights are, you know, it was just really nice for them.
Yeah. That's class. Well, the fair play coming through all those injuries. Like, is it more physical? Is it as brutish as?
I feel like that's me. Like, I was just unlucky, like a head thing, and then this was just how I turned the face. Yeah. But I think there is a higher risk, if you know what I mean. But I think as any athlete, you can go into a Gaelic game, doing your MCL, and you're going to hurt it again. But there is a higher risk. I just don't really think about it because I just
And what about the shoulder? Are you looking at surgery?
I rehabbed it I haven't had any issue with it since. So they thought they might need surgery and I might have needed surgery for this, but it actually was okay. So.
Just you're lucky.
Yeah. Must have been the angel rehab.
Yeah, they're having some good
karma
here.
She said no surgery.
Check this out on the way home.
Yeah.
This sounds good.
But that is the thing, like with any injuries in the professional setup, like you can literally, like there's someone there doing rehab with you. You can get it set, like you're in, like sometimes with Dublin, you're waiting 4 or 5 days to get a scan if you've done your knee, if you know what I mean. So it is.
And getting the right person to read it.
Exactly, and stuff like that.
Is Mark O'Connor reading now, or is this the...
Huh?
Oh, right. Okay.
We had Mark O'Connor on before, and he left Kerry, obviously, to go over to Australia with his body, you know, not in a great place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was worried about the level of training and the load and everything. And he said his body tidied up like that.
Yeah.
Just, I suppose, from the attention and from, even maybe from the increase in load steadily.
Yeah.
Just improved him, like, so.
Yeah, because you
probably got that bounce as well.
100%. I think, like, I obviously am older and stuff, and you're like, oh, I have been able to do the recovery and, like, the training over there that maybe has, like, helped me because you're definitely,
It's 100% focus, isn't it? Like, if you're home, you're going to work.
Yeah.
You come home from work and you're knackered. It's like,
you're skipping that ice bath.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. That's the reality. Yeah.
And you're sitting down on a desk, do you know, and you're
everything.
We've a couple of quick ones to finish on. Paddy James, you jump in as well. Sinead Golder, the footballer, what is she to you guys? Because when you go on the Dublin profiles, I think 5 out of 30 has their sporting hero as Sinead Goldrick. Now, 2 of them do have Paul Casey as there, so I don't know whether they're looking for a position in the team with that.
Yeah, we're slagging in there trying to get in the squad.
But, like, I think the 2 you have Sonia O'Sullivan down as your sporting hero growing up. I don't know whether you had a footballing hero either growing up. But, like, who is Sinead Goldrick, the footballer to you? I've seen her described as the Seamus Moynihan of the Dublin team before in terms of she'd do a job in defence, in midfield, throw her up front if she had to.
Yeah, it's hard to like put Goldie in one word, to be honest. Like, I think as when you go into Dublin, it's the first thing you see is you see the intensity, the attitude and everything she brings. I just remember that from a young age. It was like, I want to mark her. And no one, you didn't. It was like, run away from her, but I wanted, that's the standard I want to be able to do. And then just as a person, it's everything. Like, she's absolutely crazy mental. But everyone on the team just loves her. And yeah, it's just what she's brought to Dublin, to all of us, to the girls that she's met along the way. You know, you just couldn't, you seriously couldn't put a word on it.
Where did that come from?
What do you mean?
That you as that, like, where did that come from? Like,
I think it's just, I don't know, you always want to try to be the best player you can be, if you know what I mean, and yeah, just push yourself. And I think that's, yeah, I think when you're in an environment like Dublin, like, that's, you're everyone around you, if you know what I mean, and like, same as Carla, like, do you know what I mean? Her on the field is everything. And just as a leader, like her and Leah this year, like the amount of work they do behind the scenes, like all the huddle, they want everyone to be the best player. And like, Carla's the workhorse of the team and like so honest too, if you know what I mean. You want honest leaders, you know. But like, we need that. And sometimes we clash because I think we're similar. Either way, like, yeah, it is. Right. Like, it's a back versus forward, let's go. But like, those are the things that you need. And I think, you know.
That's where the magic happens in a team though, right? Yeah. When you can clash and still.
Yeah. I remember Goldie and Sinead O'Hearn, like, Nerd was just so quiet and she'd go around the pitch and like be like the sniper. And just one day, turn around, the 2 of them are like on the ground. I was like, only 18. What is this?
Yeah, what have I done?
Point, you know, or like Goldie and Macker. Like, you know, Goldie and
Macker. I'm the issue.
You need Goldie plus.
Yeah, Goldie and. Okay,
right. Seeing a trend here.
But you do need that. Like, you know, you need that spark. You need that bit of personality. That brings out the best in people.
And when you stepped away for a little, like you got over to Australia and then you're coming back, you bring me a new perspective. What are you seeing in the Dublin side that you're coming back to them?
Yeah, like, I think like that's what, like, when I come back to them, I'm like, oh, I've really missed this, and you're so appreciative of it. And like the Pedros, the Cato Sullivans, the Kiva Connors, like, they used to be little babies and they're like leaders, do you know what I mean? And they're like, you know, just outstanding footballers. And like, our forward line, we have the best forward line I think in the country, do you know what I mean? And they're all leaders, do you know, that kind of way. And yeah, it's special. And I think obviously Leah and Carla leading us, like, and what you've done for Dublin in terms of like the leadership and the team and like the younger players and everything like that, like, that's where you want to play. And that's the setup, and you know, like the skill level she's at and everything like that, you want to play with those people.
Yeah, we were talking to the Kerry boys about how satisfactory their 15 minutes at the start of the All-Ireland final was against Donegal, and like, your start to the All-Ireland final this year, like, where does that come from for you? Like, you absolutely took control of it from the get-go.
I think it's, well, for me it's 2 things. It was 2021 against Meath, like any game against Meath for a lot of us is just like that hurt from 2021, and then the semi-final against Galway where we were shook for like 8 days after that game. And it was just, we cannot play the way we played in the semi-final because it won't work. And I think all of that pent-up energy and you're trying to obviously, you know, block out everything that's around you, the 2 weeks coming into an All-Ireland final, we just released it in the right way, I think.
Because it could go the other way.
Yeah, not every team does that. Like, yeah.
But as well, sometimes coming into final after a brilliant semi-final can be hard.
Yeah.
It's like you can't get back there. Whereas if you're coming in from maybe a place where you thought you should be better, it's almost easier to make the jump up at times, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think even that, like, week before that All-Ireland final, like, was horrible. Like, in terms of everyone was like, you need to do, like, you know. But, like, that's why I think the game...
You're so focused, like.
Yeah, but, like, in a good way, everyone wanted the best and just had the things. So then it was so satisfying that when we performed, like, it was all the work of everyone putting in. And then, you know, we kind of, in that game, felt we weren't going to lose. I mean, that doesn't always happen in finals, you know. But it's, like, the work that went in, and it was just... like, goals were going in and we were like on top.
Yeah, we just knew. It was like we had a meeting like 5 days out And up until that point, we were like cats, honestly, the whole lot of us, everything. We were like, we're in an All-Ireland final, like, we need to enjoy this.
Yeah, yeah.
And day five, or day, 5 days out, we had a meeting, and when we came out, we were like, we're going to win.
Yeah. Awesome.
We're going to do this. Nice. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's class.
That's unreal. And the final one, when you think of like going into All-Ireland finals in 2014 compared to 25, where is women's football now? Where is your prep? Where is your the game itself?
Yeah.
And where can it go to? Like, what are you seeing?
Like, I feel that, I think, like, the standard and level's definitely increasing. Like, what I really want to see is, like, journalism and, like, that analytical, like, you know, journalism, like, to come into the game more so that, like, people are reading about it. Mm. But I do think that the standard of the game is getting better and better, and we just need more exposure, if you know what I mean? And it's up to it happening in schools, like, you know what I mean? The boys and the girls' pitches, like, being seen, you know, as the same, yeah. equal all the way up. So yeah, I just think it's going to increase, but we need to have like equality kind of for that to happen. And then double headers before the league games. Like, I think that's when you'll get more fans to come.
Because we get, coverage, wider coverage.
Yeah, like, the main, like, the best day is the All-Ireland final because we get so much, but like, if you look at the semi-finals and that's not, you know, their numbers are lower. So we just want to increase the attendance because the game is there and it's just going to get better. But we need, I think, more support.
I think, like, we're seeing this explosion of streaming and video and of games in the last 4 or 5 years. And all it takes is 15 seconds of a backheel goal or Amy Mackin clipping over a score or a solo dummy or a tackle from Sinead Goldrick to catch the headlines. Like, and I know the double headers is the big thing, right? Because you're probably getting in new eyeballs and you're like, oh, this is brilliant.
Yes.
With your marketing background, is the support going to come? Do you see it coming? Like, has it come enough?
Like, if you actually look at the streaming from, like, the LGFA, though, you have to sign in to do a password and then you have to pay for it. So there's, like, three steps there to actually watch a stream, you know, so it needs to be accessible. And I do think that, like, you need to see, that Carla Rowe goal, like, five times and a little snippet on, like, social media. And then, like, people will still watch it more. So it's highlighting, the best players and, like, the skill sets in those 3 second clips. And then I think people will watch it. So definitely social media and kind of just highlighting, like, the skill set of the game. And then, as I said, I think the stories behind,
players.
Yeah, do you know, and even like Galway, we have a real good rivalry. Waterford, like, it's just letting those stories out. And
rivalry sell, like, you know?
Yeah.
A bit of hatred or hurt that's happened in the games. Like,
just do like a Netflix series or something.
Blue
Sisters. Blue Sisters too.
Yeah.
I do think hearing from players though, because it's like you know them then, do you know, and you're more likely
more invested.
You're more invested, exactly.
Yeah.
It's all about just getting it out there, isn't it?
Yeah, and do you have a daughter now? Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also think that now, like people who have kids, they can see that, like, a future for their daughter, so they want, you know, they should go down to the club, and, like, now you'll probably be like, oh, what's the standard here, and, like, increase it all the way up, because I think when guys get a girl, their mindset changes into open-minded, maybe.
You said it there, just that becomes the norm. Like, I have a daughter who's 7 months old, her daughter's 6 months old, and they'd be playing GAA. Like, there's no, that's going to happen. And I just think what you guys have done, that Dublin team in the tens, the four in a row, and there were Paul and Derek's team as well. Hopefully there's a couple of more out there. That's, like, the men's team have always had the 70s team as the reference, like Hefo's team, and that was the... Anyone, young lad who was playing GAA in Dublin, was like, we want to be like that team.
And
we finally were able to put something like that together. Whereas my daughter and young girls growing up in Dublin, your team will be that team forever. It's like that team with Mick and then with Casey and Derek, that's going to be the reference for everyone. And if my daughter goes on to do even remote, a couple of percent of what you guys have done, or just the experiences, that's amazing. So you've set that template, in Dublin in particular. Ladies Gaelic football is going from strength to strength, but as Dublin centric, we're in Dublin, two Dublin legends. From that side of things, I think it's amazing. Fingers crossed the little lady will be wearing the blue in a few years' time.
I think 1 year we did like the semi-finals for the four teams in Croke Park, like 3 years ago, and that actually was really good because it got fans in.
Huge attention as well.
Yeah, but they stopped doing that. So just like those little moments where you can actually get people to come, you know, together and playing in Croke Park, if you know what I mean. But if it's four teams, like in the semi-final, there will be interest, you know, the way in then. So.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's just, I think, about even progressing it as quick as we can. Like, there's probably, you're fighting against time. Mm. Times have changed so much over the last couple of years. But I think now people who are, like, having kids and in football clubs, they're people who should be with the progressive times. Yeah. You know? So it's about now we should be accelerating it much more quickly than what we kind of have been. Mm. Whereas obviously there was a stage where you just had to, it was going to be a slower process, but there's no excuse for that.
Yeah. I
was going to ask you about bringing in the All-Ireland, but I was speaking to a colleague of mine on the way up and he's like, oh yeah, the All-Ireland's in a school in Swords this morning with his daughter. So I don't know, you went back to, did you go back to primary school recently as well? So.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was up the road. I was in my old gymnastics club as well. A couple of places brought into my secondary school.
Was it last week or the week before?
Oh yeah, it's Brent Martin is just actually flat out.
There you go.
Had it for our dinner dance and I had got it and had to get it, drop it to someone, get it back, drop it to someone. She had to drop it.
They're very nice problems to have.
I'm looking forward to maybe when it's less busy in January, just taking it home and having it in the kitchen for a few days.
Once it got to January, it was like no one's allowed to touch it.
You couldn't have it.
I don't know where someone had it, but
I think it's gone. Yeah. I'm like, surely I can have it for a week or so, just to take it in. Because sometimes, you know, life rolls on, you don't think about it, and it's little moments of clips you might see.
You could use that with Casey now as barter. Like, if you want me to come back, give me the cup for a week.
Yeah,
there you go. Give and take.
It's not even, it's just the memories that it brings, you know that way?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I'll say that to Paul.
Carla Rowe, Sinead Goldrick, thanks so much, All-Ireland champions. Thanks for taking the time out to come and chat to us. Tell us your story. What an incredible career so far, and that's so much more to come. But I think we'll definitely be coming back to Killian's and all as well.
Welcome anytime.
AIB has kept the Football Pod on the road over the last couple of months with the Football Pod Club. We've our series with the All-Ireland winners in Kerry. We had Pádraig Joyce on 2 weeks ago and the All-Ireland winners in Dublin now. And we'll be with the All-Ireland champions, hopefully, in the new year, club champions. So that's us now, I think, for Christmas. Happy Christmas and best of luck getting married.
Thank you. And Carla got engaged also.
What's going on?
I have no wedding plans yet.
Okay. You let us know when you're sorting that.
We
get you on this before your hand. Good luck with that as well. Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
The Football Pod Club. On Off the Ball, in partnership with AIB, proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.